Sadly, today in America, we celebrate Mother's Day, but we don't celebrate motherhood. Because of abortion and because of the divorce rate and the things that are in our culture today, we actually are demeaning and despising the ministry of motherhood. Any country that can say, hey, a baby that's born can be murdered at birth, is not a country that celebrates motherhood. And that's not the main topic of my message today, but it is a good time to remind us of how wicked that is before God. This week in our weekly prayer meeting as a staff, we prayed and confessed the sins of our nation to God. I am so burdened about the sins of our nation. And we don't deserve, I've been studying the mercy of God, but truth of the matter is, we don't deserve any of God's mercy for the things that we're committing in our nation and being able to turn our head on it like it's not even happening. And we need a return to the ministry of motherhood. George Washington, the first president of the United States of America, said, "All that I am, I owe to my mother." We hold motherhood in high regard as believers because we honor what God honors. And God honors mothers. In fact, Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, said this, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother," speaking of his mother almost as an angel. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the most prolific preachers in time past and all of history, said this, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother." But instead of prominent people and leaders saying things like that today, we hear things like, "The home is your prison. Free yourself from it." At the same time, women who see being a mother, as the Bible describes it, as an honor and a privilege, are marginalized and demonized in general public. In fact, if somebody has more than two or three children and you're in public, people look at you like, what planet did you come from? The mom ministry is one of the toughest assignments that God ever gave. She's got to be insightful. She's got to be tough as a Marine Corps drill instructor. She's got to be gentle as a nurse. Requires an endless supply of energy to do what you do, moms. A massive amount of patience to deal with the children at all the different stages and trying to teach and train and get them to learn from eating food to making their beds to the basic responsibilities of life and them not getting it done the way you want it done and the patience it takes. It takes an iron will and recognition of the fact that if mom gets sick, she better be well before the end of the day. The truth is, someone who is fulfilling the ministry of motherhood is someone who doesn't have too much idle time on her hands. Because being a mother is tedious at times. It's intense. In fact, the Bible describes being a mother as one of the most important roles and callings in society. I would argue that being a parent, a mother, or a father is the highest, most important role and calling given in the pages of Scripture. In fact, the main responsibility of our children growing up falls on us to train them, mom and dad. That's a heavy, heavy load. It's more important than being a king or a queen or a leader. It's more important than being a prophet or a pastor or a priest. It's more important than being a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a farmer. Being a mom is more important. You know, churches are only as strong as their families are. You don't have the unit of a family. You don't have a church. You don't have a mother and father that's interested in raising their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and raising them up in church. We don't have churches today. And so the job of a parent, specifically this morning, the job of a mother, is a high calling. Those of you who are mothers must see the responsibility as a high privilege. We must reclaim our role as the shapers and supporters of the next generation of leaders and parents. And there's a lot attacking that. Roosevelt said this, "The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is far more important than the successful statesman, businessman, artist, or scientist. Mama is more important." He was right. Motherhood is described in the Bible. And this morning I want to deal with the ministry of motherhood from the Scriptures. I want to look, first of all, at the pattern. When we go to find out what should be the focus, what should be the lifestyle of a mother, where do we go to find that out? Do we turn on Oprah? I think I'll get some good things from Oprah today. Do we open up Vanity Fair and say, I think I'll find out about motherhood in a magazine? Do we go to the internet and type into Google, good mother? No, we go to the Bible. And in the Bible, we find out the pattern of what a mother should look like. Do we look to feminism in America today? Do we look to the professional world and say that the model of a motherhood will follow the professional lady in this world as the model for motherhood? No, we look to the Bible, because the Bible gets it all straight and right. So I want you to see some things in the Bible regarding the pattern first, and in the context of a local church. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 3, the Bible says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Notice here in this passage that the Bible addresses what the aged women in the church ought to be. This speaks of someone with life experience and godly wisdom. This would be those who have been wives and mothers. Those who have been far enough down the road to have stepped in a few potholes. Yeah, that's who it's talking about. It's talking about aged women. Holy aged women. One writer wrote of old time, the preachers of old time used to say that the holy aged women of the church were the conscience of the church. Huh. Here the Bible says that their behavior becometh holiness. They are not rude or arrogant or overbearing or over-opinionated. Their lives speak tons about God's word and about God's standard and about God's love. You see, older ladies, your influence really depends on your godliness. How easy it would be for a younger man like Titus to misunderstand or even neglect the older members of his congregation. Maybe he would have this thought, I want a church of young people. Some pastors, that's what they want. But a church needs both the old and the young. And the biblical principle of that is that they are to minister to one another. One of the strongest forces of spiritual ministry at Mount Zion Baptist Church lies in the older ladies of our church. I want you to see that from the Scriptures this morning. Godly older women are a rich spiritual resource to Mount Zion Baptist Church. They deserve special esteem and consideration. In this culture, we know what female models are, or at least we think we know. Models are those skinny women who appear on the magazine covers and supposedly are examples of how all women are to look. But you know and I know that's not the truth. That's a facade. Really, models are defined in Titus 2, verse number 3. Aged women whose behavior is as holiness, the Scripture says, that becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. I want to give you four things this morning regarding the aged women, and by extension, the younger women in our church, and by extension, the mothers of our church, ought to reflect this kind of character in their lives. First of all, I want you to see that they ought to reflect a demeanor of reverence. A demeanor of reverence. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." It means that there's a reverence by which a woman carries herself. There is a respect toward others, and there is a respect toward God by which a woman lives her life. The aged women are to carry that aroma with them. They are to be examples to the younger ladies with that lifestyle of reverence. Reverence towards God when it comes to church. Reverence towards their husbands in the home. There is to be a demeanor. There is to be a lifestyle of reverence. That's what the phrase means. Aged women are to be as becoming holiness. A woman's lifestyle includes the way a woman moves. A woman's lifestyle includes the countenance on her face. A woman's lifestyle includes what she says, or better yet, what she leaves unsaid. A woman's lifestyle reveals her habitual attitude of mind and body as a believer. And the scriptures here say that Timothy is to teach, and he's to teach the aged women that this is what God expects, this is what honors God, this is what's to be passed down to the younger women in your church, to the wives and the mothers of your church. This is what they're supposed to get. That which becometh holiness. God said that. The word reverent refers to honoring the Lord. But its source in the culture in which Paul was writing was being prepared to minister in the temple. The people that were reading this passage, as they were reading Titus chapter 2, and Titus is reading this, and Titus is, I've got to proclaim this to the church that I'm pastoring, they would come across these words, and they would understand these words to mean somebody that has prepared themselves inwardly and outwardly to minister at the temple. That is a woman that is becoming of holiness. You go back and study what they did in preparation to minister in the temple. Quite a few things to understand there. First of all, there was a cleansing. First of all, they washed themselves physically to be able to minister in the temple. Secondly, they changed their garments to be able to minister in the temple. Thirdly, their hearts were to be in tune with the Lord to be able to minister in the temple. And in the New Testament, Paul instructs the preacher, teach the ladies of your church, the aged women of your church, to become as holiness, to become prepared ministers, to serve in the house of God. That's quite a pattern. Aged women in the church were to have conduct appropriate to a temple. That is, they know how to behave. Others may please themselves in the way that they live and recognize no higher authority than their own desires and the culture and the fads of the day, but not aged women. Aged women realized that they were to be prepared to serve the Lord inwardly and outwardly. Not doing what they wanted to do. Not doing what they saw others doing. But as becometh holiness. Ladies, that's what God wants for your life. Young ladies, that's what God wants for your life. Mothers, that's what God wants for your life. Grandmothers and mothers, that's what God wants for your children and your grandchildren. For them to have a model, a pattern, something to imitate in your life that becomes holiness. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 3. The word reverent has the idea of priest-like. One whose life is fit for temple service. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 3. The Bible says, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, holy, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Interesting that it here deals with the inward and it deals with the outward. The inward being the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Ladies, you don't have to be loud. Ladies, you don't have to be strong, as some people would call it. Always shooting off what you think. Always shooting off what comes to your mind. No, just have a meek and a quiet spirit. And the Bible says, in the sight of God, in the sight of God, as God looks down on that, He puts great value or price on it. Anything that God puts great price on, I'm interested in. And God puts great price on that. Secondly, there's not only a demeanor of reverence that we ought to have, or ladies ought to have, but they ought to have discretion with the tongue. They ought to have discretion with the tongue. Go back to Titus chapter 2 and look at verse number 3. The Bible's teaching us not only behavior as becometh holiness, but not false accusers. Say, preacher, what's the meaning here? You know, it's the word for devil. The word false accusers in your Bible, as you look at those words in your Bible, not false accusers, is the word for devil. In fact, in the New Testament, it's used 38 different times. 34 of those times, it is translated devil. So, aged women passing down to younger women, to mothers, to children, one of the things that we want to stay away from is that we don't take sides with the devil in a lack of discretion with our tongues. The Bible says not false accusers. Today the world tells us and flaunts, just say what's on your mind, just say it. And God says don't say it. God says use discretion. God says when that thing comes to your mind that you want to accuse your husband of all the time and you say always or he never, and that thought crosses your mind and you're about ready to say it, I'm not going to say that. It's not true. It's not always. It's not never. I'm not going to let my mouth say that. Discretion. And aged women are to lead the example as the example in the church and transfer it and communicate it to younger women, and wives are not to be false accusers. Godly women don't categorize people. Instead, they teach good things. There's a discretion of the tongue. It's a shame that mothers and wives have, some have sunk into the role of being a busybody. And a busybody does what? They go from house to house. And all they do is talk. And God here gives some instruction regarding the tongue as it relates to the women and says, hey, don't be somebody that is a false accuser. Don't be somebody that's loose with your tongue. In fact, in Proverbs 11:22, the Bible says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without, which is without discretion. You can be as beautiful outwardly, but if you don't have discretion, my friend, your life is like a ring on a pig's snout. And guess what? Nobody wants to wear it on the pig's snout. Ladies, may I challenge you in your personal lives to be women. Older women, younger women, be women that is not given to a loose tongue. Control what you say. Think before you speak. It's important. Busybodies invest themselves heavily in socializing without investing yourself heavily in God's Word for the purpose of transforming your heart. And let me say this, social media today is a bad thing on this front. Women, control your time on that. Turn some of that time into Bible time. It gets you in trouble. There are fruitless discussions that happen on social media. It takes your time, lots of your time. Hear me. It also enables and encourages us to be bolder with our tongue about things that we would never say face to face. And so let's not go that direction. Let's be guarded. Let's use discretion in our lives. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Ma'am, may I speak to you kindly today, but may I speak to you firmly. If you got all kinds of time to be all over the internet and you spend hours a day on that and you don't have time to wash clothes for your home or prepare a meal, and everybody has to fend for themselves, you are giving up responsibilities of motherhood for something that has no payday involved on the other side. And so, let me encourage you not to be a busybody. Let me encourage you to give yourself to the work of the home. Discreet in verse number 5 means to be safe in mind. It means to be moderate. It means to be self-controlled in opinion. For a woman to get the comment that she's strong in reference to her opinions is not a compliment by any means. It's revealing that she lacks discretion. And all ladies in our church, I want to encourage you. Doesn't mean that you don't have any thoughts. Doesn't mean that you can't share opinions. I'm saying that there's a discreetness that ought to be governing our ladies in our church. Not slanderers. In fact, Proverbs 21 says, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman. A woman that likes quarrels, a woman that creates a contest in a white house. And if you're falsely accusing, and sometimes, listen, things come into our minds. In minds, we get imaginations. And imaginations become realities about people sometimes. And sometimes when we labor on those thoughts and those imaginations become realities, we draw up false accusations against people. And when we draw up false accusations against people, our mind has been corrupted. And as a result, sometimes those things come out. There ought to be a discretion of the tongue. There ought to be a demeanor of reverence. Thirdly, there ought to be a discipline in habits. There ought to be a discipline in habits. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Not given to much wine here is obviously referring to drunkenness, but beyond that, it's referring to a problem with an addiction or a habit that is developing in a woman's life. And here he says, hey, have control of your habits. Have control. Build good addictions into your life. Build addictions like thankfulness into your life. Build addictions like encouragement of others into your life. Build encouragement, build addictions like working with your children on scripture memory into your life. Build addictions like sharing the gospel with little Johnny when he's a 1 year old and he can't understand anything, but you're putting the gospel into his life. Build some good addictions. Instead of giving yourself to things that are going to enslave you and grip you, and watch this, pull you away from the responsibilities that you have as a mother, as a woman. Today, mothers get captured by hobbies, and they get captured by cell phones and apps and parties and video games and television and movies. And hear me, none of them are pulling towards motherhood. They're pulling away from motherhood. They're pulling away from work. They're pulling away from the responsibilities of the home. And we're building bad habits that are affecting our homes. May I remind you, mothers, your responsibility is primarily your home. Your responsibility is your children. May I remind you to be disciplined in your habits. It's what's communicated here in the scripture. Lastly, a determination to pass on truth and values. A teacher of good things. Teaching your girls a submissive attitude by your example. Instead of living a life of independence from your husband, which can be marked by a critical spirit and a sharp tongue, a lack of teachability, a lust of control of the man that you married. Instead, exchange those things. Exchange them for a grace-filled life. Exchange them for a ministry of encouragement to your mate. Exchange the sharp tongue for words of healing. Exchange proud resistance for a teachable spirit. Exchange a desire for control to relaxing in the fact that God is in control. Make some exchanges. Determined to pass on some good things. Those exchanges that I just said, Those things, if you exchange them, they're good things to pass on. They're wonderful things to pass on. They're good things to teach. Exchange a resentment toward authority with a humble honor. Young ladies, I ask you this question today. What kind of old woman will you become? Where you're at in life right now and where you're headed, the path that you're on, the heart that you have, where's that going to lead 30 years down the road? What kind of older woman are you going to become? Because what you're planting as seeds today will come to harvest 10, 20, 30 years down the road. And God gives us these things to zero in on. This is God's word. These are the things that God says, hey, I want to give you some things that are going to bear good harvest down the road in your life, in your children's lives. I want you to see the pattern. Secondly, I want you to see the priority. Verse number four. The Bible says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Second part of the message, I really would like to address the young women in our church. I believe that God has blessed us with older women as well as younger women. And every one of you are a blessing. Anytime God puts a lady in our church and He sets the members in the church, I believe, He sets blessings before us. And every lady here is a blessing to Mount Zion Baptist Church. May I say that from my heart to yours today. But I want to remind you of the priorities as a younger woman. First of all, it is important that you are teachable. It is important that you are teachable. Older women are to teach younger women. But if a younger woman's not teachable, it doesn't matter what the older woman teaches. If the younger woman is not perceptive to watch and Edna Waldemeyer how she carries herself, then she won't pick up what she needs. Because the older are to teach the younger. And may I say, there's a whole bunch of them in our church, younger ladies. There's a whole bunch of older ladies in our church. And they are godly ladies. They are ladies that become as holiness. They are not false accusers. They are diligent ladies. They have been down the road. They have been through the rough spots of marriage. They have dealt with their children. They've been on their knees over their kids. They are faithful to God. They are ladies that are reverent in their demeanor. And I say, be teachable and learn from them. Why, they got some things that you got to get. God said that. God said the aged women teach the younger women to be sober, to be serious about your responsibilities. Part of maturity is understanding that my responsibilities come before anything else. My dad always taught me this, work before play. Work before play. Man, there's work to do. Man, I got to give myself to work. I can't cut my kids short. Some of you are homeschooling your children. You can't cut them short. You only got one shot at this. You miss it, you rob them for life. Hear me. There are responsibilities that come. And getting those responsibilities and staying tuned into those responsibilities and staying on those responsibilities is what a sober woman does. She stays tuned into her work. She's sober. Older women are to teach younger women to be sober. It's not all about fun. Our older ladies will tell you that. Boy, is fun a part of life? Yeah, glad we can have some fun, but you know what? There's a lot of work. As a mother, there's a lot of work. My wife plans our meals out. My wife goes grocery shopping to get the supplies for each one of those meals. I come home every night. I don't ever have to worry about whether my wife has thought about a meal or not. You know why? She's putting the labor in behind the scenes. She's getting it done. My laundry drawer, my drawers always have the clothes that I need in them. You know why? There's work being done. Work, work, work. There's a soberness about life, and it's full of responsibility. Learn to be teachable. Number two, learn to be sober. Take your responsibilities seriously. If you're a young lady, if you're a teenager, if you're a young mother, I would invite some older godly ladies into my life. I think that would be a good thing. You know what I think would be a good thing? Is if you called an older lady up in the church and said, hey, would you go out with me for coffee today? I'd just like to talk to you. I'd just like to share what's going on in my life. I'd just like to ask you some questions about life and marriage and children. Well, preacher, I don't know if I know what to talk about. Oh, it'll go okay. You know what? You'll learn just by being around them. You'll learn. You'll learn soberness. Be teachable. Make a list of counselors, teen girls, and run them through your mom and dad, and let them be a list full of aged women. Just giving some solid, practical Bible wisdom this morning. Sober means not to be filled with your own ways, your goals, your own philosophy. It means that you are willing to receive God's plan and instruction. It is clear the priority of the ministry of motherhood is the home. The home. That ministry must be taken seriously. It has all kinds of detours, moms. There are all kinds of other roads that are always opening up. There are all kinds of turns you can make off that road. But may I remind you this morning that the ministry of motherhood primarily centers on the home and the family. The home's not a playpen. It's a serious responsibility to be a wife and to take care of children in the home. It's not something to be taken lightly or despised. My friend, the biggest and most important business in the world is the making of a home. It's the biggest business. I know it's not popular. I know it's not popular in our culture. But I'm not here to preach what's popular in our culture. I'm here to preach what the Bible says and where the Bible places the emphasis. And He places it, God places it on the home. I'm confident that Paul would have never approved the women's lib movement. I believe that women still want to be treated like a woman and not a man. You'll find that selfishness will often fight against the ministry of motherhood because this ministry is a high calling and the high levels of responsibility that come with it. Be teachable, be sober, love their husbands and their children. This is what older women teach younger women. Young mothers, young ladies, ladies that are still in high school, can I speak to your hearts for a second? Don't get a grandiose idea about some career. You're going to go and get this degree and that degree, and you're going to climb the ladder in the business world. Here, set your heart on this. Lord, let me get married, and let me be a mother, and let me be a wife. Lord, if you would just give me that desire in my heart, Lord, I would be thrilled with that, to have a home. Teach the young women to love their husbands and their children's children. The Scripture places priority on a woman's commitment to love. And may I say, the choice of love is not always easy. Husbands hurt wives. They do. I do. And children hurt parents' hearts. You know what? We feel like, I don't want to love anymore. I'm going to make the choice not to love. Wait a second. What is God's plan? God's plan is that women in homes love their husbands and love their children. My friend, love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. And it's an everyday choice. And I get weary of hearing people say, I don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. Wait a second. Love's a choice. That means you're making a choice. And God says, love your husbands. And God says, love your children. And that's what's supposed to be passed down. That's what you're supposed to get. See, love is tested. It is always tested in our lives. But that's when we show the love of Christ. Because Christ loved people that deserve not to be loved, like me. Like you. It's called unconditional love. Love affects the look you give to your kids. Love affects the tone you use with your husband. Love's accompanied by an attitude of willing, joyful service and a personal, caring attitude. Love is active. It's part of the ministry of motherhood. Love. A ministry is what you do for others expecting nothing in return. It's one thing to fall in love. It's quite another to learn to selflessly and sacrificially love your spouse and your children. And ladies, that's what we're called to. That's God's will for your life, according to the Scriptures. I want to give you this as I finish up. The power of your life. I want you to think about this. When God needed a Samuel, He found a Hannah. I want you to think about this. When God needed a Timothy, He found a Lois and a Eunice. Mother, hear me. If you will do your work as a mother, you will be sober. You will love your children. You will train them. You will give to them your life. Hear me. Your life will put something into them that no one else could put into them. The ministry of motherhood. Ladies, there's lots of glitter out there. But I want you to remember the glory of a home. There are builders of a house. They know how to put pieces of wood together to construct something. And then there are builders of the home. And those are mothers who are serious about the ministry of motherhood. There's more I could say in verse number 5. I'm out of time. But may our mothers be centered on the ministry of motherhood.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.